Welcome to another Zman. I looked at all of the requests that everyone made, at least those who took the Bechina before yesterday, as to what topics we should do this Zman, and hopefully we'll be able to do all the requested topics. The first one was Elu V'Elu Div Elokim Chayim, Hashkacha, Free Will, and Olam Haba. And I tried to, so I don't have to give you new makor sheets, put them all on one makor sheet. And inevitably, as I prepare, I'll see things I missed and had to supplement, but at least that. I didn't print a sign-up sheet for today. Figured that half of you anyway aren't registered, and the other half of you aren't even here. So I'll give it out next week, and you could sign in retroactively. So the first topic we're going to discuss is Elu V'Elu, which is on page 2 of your Makor sheet. The Gemara, as you all know, says, Shalosh Shanim Nechlechu Beis Shammai Uveis Hillel, Halalu Omrim Halacha Kemosenu, Halalu Omrim Halacha Kemosenu. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagreed for 3 years. We all know how many disputes there are between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and Shas. And of course, each one thought that they were correct. Yatzabas called the Amra, Elu V'Elu Div Elokim Chayim, V'Halacha Kebeis Hillel. Both opinions are the words of a living God, but the Halacha follows Beis Hillel. Now the obvious question is, what does this mean? If both opinions are Div Elokim Chayim, so then why does the Halacha follow Beis Hillel? Does the fact that the Halacha following Beis Hillel imply that one view is more correct than the other view? So this is, of course, the subject of a machlokas. We'll have to decide if we say Elu V'Elu on this one. So the first view we'll consider is quoted in the Ritva on this Gemara. Shalu Rabbanei Tzarfas Heach Efshar Shiyu Shneim Divrei Elokim Chayim V'Zeo V'Zeh Matir. This seems to be impossible. Meaning to say, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have said both things? Aser and Mutter. Which one is it? Presumably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an opinion on the matter. V'tirtzu, ki k'sha'ala Moshe l'marom l'kabel Torah, heru lo es kol davar v'davar, al kol davar v'davar, mem tes panim l'iser, mem tes panim l'heter. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe, when he was at Sinai, 49 stadim l'hakel, and 49 stadim l'hachmir. V'shala HaKadosh Baruch Hu alzeh, and Moshe Rabbeinu himself asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu what's going on. Meaning to say, Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, so what's the bottom line? What do I do? V'amar, and Hashem responded, Sheheze maser l'chachme Yisrael shebuchal dor vador, v'yeh hachra'a kemosa. That in each and every generation, the chachamim of that door will take a vote, and they will decide who is correct. Achrei Rabim Lahatos. V'nachon hu lefi hadrash, v'derech ha'emes, yesh tam v'sod bedavar. So this interpretation of the Gemara is correct, al pi drash, al pi derech ha'emes, there's another explanation, maybe we'll get to what he might be referring to later. But let's first think about the Mahalich of, we're going to call it the Mahalich of the Ritva, it's not, technically speaking, the Mahalich of the Chachmei Tzarfas quoted in the Ritva. So let's try to understand what's going on here. So it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuses to issue concrete definitive rulings to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. Now, that doesn't mean that the matters debated in the Gemara, well, that doesn't mean to say that no matters are concretely at Sinai. Obviously, many halachos were given in a clear-cut way at Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what to do and how to follow the Torah after Matan Torah. However, what this Ritva does imply is that there were certain matters, and specifically the matters debated in the Talmud about which we say Elu V'Elu. We'll have to figure out whether we say Elu V'Elu about everything or not, but at least with respect to the matters of the things that, can I borrow your pen, that we say Elu V'Elu, about the matters about which we say Elu V'Elu, so those things were left unresolved in the Talmud. and said those things were left unresolved at Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Kal Yisrael will figure that out. I think this approach corresponds to a perspective, perhaps later in Nisman we'll discuss that, about the nature of how Torah was given at Sinai. And this Ritva presumes that what was given at Sinai was not comprehensive, meaning to say that there were matters that were not given at Sinai, or if they were given at Sinai, they were left unresolved with respect to what was given at Sinai. On the one hand, we know Chazal tell us at a number of places, Kol Torah Kula, Znemra B'Sinai, Klalim, Pratim, Dikduke Sofrim, even some sources have, say, Kol Masha Talmud Vastik Asad L'Chadesh was Namar L'Moshe M'Sinai. But at the same time, there are other sources, and again, we'll have a chance to more fully appreciate this when we address it more fully, that say no. For example, the Medrash Rabbah says, and I didn't give you this, but I'll read it to you, Vayitein El Moshe, Amar B'Yavo, Kol Mem Yom Sha'asa Moshe L'Mala, Hayalami Tor V'Shocheach. So Moshe Rabbeinu was learning and forgetting at Sinai. Finally, at the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nasan Lo HaTorah B'Matana, the Medrash continues, V'chi Kol HaTorah Lamad Moshe, K'siv B'Torah, Aruka Mine Mida, Aruka Me'aretz Mida, U'rechava Mine Yam, U'arbaim Yom Lamda Moshe. Is it conceivable that Moshe Rabbeinu actually learned everything in 40 days? That would be impossible. Ela, klalim lamduhu HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the klalim, but pratim, or at least some of the pratim, were not given, and Moshe, and subsequently the Chachmei HaMesorah, were able to extrapolate from the klalim that were given to Moshe, the pratim. And that's what we do when we learn Gemara, when we paskin a shaila, when we consider a matter that might never have been considered before, a question involving modern technology. So what we're doing is, we're taking the klalim that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, and we're applying them to something new. The Sefer Ikrim, in chapter 28, develops this idea at length and argues that not every detail of every halacha was given to Moshe at Sinai. Rather, it was left to the Chachmei HaMesorah to interpret the Torah that was given at Sinai and apply it to new questions and use it to discover new understandings. The Rambam, along similar lines, maintains that many of the drashos that were given in the Gemara, which in fact have the status to some degree of dinim d'oraisa, were not given to Moshe at Sinai. Rather, again, each and every generation, the Beis Nagadol would go ahead and interpret the Torah. The Yud Gimel Midos Shatar Nedreshes Bahen were given to Moshe at Sinai, but the application of those Midos was done subsequently. The Rambam therefore rules that if a later Beis Din thinks that the earlier Beis Din misunderstood, did not apply these drushos correctly, then in fact they could argue with the earlier Beis Din, even if the earlier Beis Din is Gadol B'Chachma V'Minyan. The rule that you can't argue unless your Gadol B'Chachma V'Minyan is only said with respect to legislation, with respect to takanos, not with respect to the interpretation of the Torah. And the Rambam in fact writes that the things that were given to Moshe at Sinai, the halachos l'Moshe m'Sinai, the perushim mekubalim, those things you'll never find any debate, because if one opinion had a Mesorah and the other opinion did not have the Mesorah, the other opinion would clearly accept the Mesorah. So when you find debate in the Gemara, that's with respect to things that were nischadshu over the course of Zman. And the debate stems from the fact that they disagreed as to how to apply the rules, the Midos HaTorah Nedreshes Bahen, the hermeneutical principles by which we interpret the Torah. But fundamentally, there is no debate about things that were given at Sinai. as I said, we'll return to that question maybe another time. But fundamentally speaking, this Ritva seems to be making a similar assumption to that Medrash Rabbah, to the Rambam, that while Klalim were given at Sinai, Pratim weren't given at Sinai. Or the way the Ritva presents it is that while the Pratim were given at Sinai, the Hachra, as to which opinion should be followed, was not given at Sinai. This story quoted by the Ritva really comes from a Yerushalmi, which is the next source you have over here. Amar Bianai, Ilu nitna hatora chatucha, lo haisa l'regel amida. Had the Torah been given in clear-cut decisions, chatucha, so there would be no leg upon which to stand. What this means is unclear. What does it mean that there's no leg to stand on? What does it mean that it wasn't given chatucha? The Pnei Moshe on this Yerushalmi says that chatucha would be b'psak halacha b'lo netiyas das l'kan u'l'kan. So, had the Torah been given in clear-cut decisions without room for multiple interpretations, then there would be no room upon which to stand. The Ritva's understands it's referring to how to read the psukim, interestingly enough. Meaning to say, psukim could be read or interpreted in multiple ways. So what is it we would have no leg upon which to stand? So the Pnei Moshe says, Lo hayakim la'olam, da Torah tzarech shetia nidrashes panim lakan, ulakan, kedilakamei. Ve'elu ve'elu diver lokim chayim. Perhaps what he means is that the Torah had to be given in a way that was somewhat ambiguous to allow for Talmud Torah, which by necessity involves reading it and understanding it in our own way. And both views are correct. The Lashon of the Torah, or the words that God originally gave Moshe, was somewhat ambiguous, but the multiple plausible interpretations are both true. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The Karban Eidon that Yerushalmi suggests something a little different. He says that if it was given chatucha, we wouldn't know how to apply it to new questions that arise. This happens all the time. We have a modern question. You can use an iPhone on Shabbos, so you need to figure out what to do. Well, if you look at the Gemara, that question is not discussed explicitly, but... And what the Yerushalmi is saying is, had the Torah been given chatucha with clear-cut decisions, just this is the law here and here and here and here and here, then the Torah's eternality would be compromised because it wouldn't be able to be used to address every question that we have. It's precisely because it wasn't given chatucha that we're able to use it that way. So the Yerushalmi continues. Ma tam vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, amr lefanav ribono shel olam, hodieni heach hi ha-halacha. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me, what's the halacha? What's the bottom line? What do I do? You gave me all these possibilities, but tachlis, what do I do? Amr lo, achri rabim lahatos. Take a vote. Rabu amezaken zachu, rabu amechayven chivu, kedei shetei ha-Torah nedreshes mem tes panim tamei, u-mem tes panim tahor. Minayin vidiglu alai ava. V'cheinu omer imros Hashem imros tahoros kesef tsaruf ba'alil la'aretz mizukak shivasayim. V'omer meisharim ahevucha. So we have here a story. Moshe Rabbeinu is frustrated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him this Torah that's ambiguous in many respects. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers is that the timelessness of the Torah, its eternality, is ensured precisely through the ambiguity. Moreover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe a method of resolving these ambiguities. Practically, what do you do if you're not sure what the Torah means? So, lo b'shamayim hi, the Torah was given to human beings to interpret using their seichel, and when there is a debate that arises, so we follow the majority opinion. Now, going back to what does Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim mean according to the Ritva. What does it mean? It means that both views are equally true in so far as they stem from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai. And therefore, what does the Gemara mean? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. the opinion of Beis Shammai and the opinion of Beis Hillel were both stated at Sinai. However, how do we know what to do? Practically, we paskin based off Achir Amlahatos, who is the majority, Beis Hillel, and therefore the halacha follows Beis Hillel.
So how is it that, how do we, sorry.
So support for this idea, I think, where you might see a raya for this understanding, is a Gemara in Shabbos, you have in the next source. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that Machshirei Mila are Docha Shabbos, which means to say that you're allowed to cut down a tree to make the knife, to burn the knife, to do a bris mila on Shabbos. And according to the Chachamim, that's not true. Only things that could not be done before Shabbos can be done on Shabbos. If you could have done it before Shabbos, like carrying or heating the water or the like, then that may not be done on Shabbos. Now, of course, we follow the Chachamim, which means that if you were to do what Rabbi Eliezer said, you'd be chayiv misa. And yet, the Gemara says, Yirachas haisa b'Eretz Yisrael, shayuosin k'Rabbi Lazar, there was a city in Eretz Yisrael that followed the Vir of Lazar, which was, of course, correct. Everybody's supposed to follow their Rav. And this story took place before a clear hachra'a was arrived at. So there was not yet a psak. So they followed the Rebbe, they followed Rebbe Lazar. Vayumesim bizmanan, nevertheless, they lived out a full life. They didn't die early. Despite the fact that they were mechalalei Shabbos aliba dehilchasa, meaning to say anachronistically, what became the halacha meant that what they did was chilul Shabbos. V'lo od, ela shepam achas gazra malchus harisha gzeira al Yisrael, once the evil kingdom, the Romans, made a decree against Klal Yisrael, al hamila, concerning the prohibition against doing a bris mila, v'lo sa'ir lo gazra, but this city was spared from that decree. Now, what's the Gemara telling us? Now, presumably, if Rabbi Eliezer's view is wrong, meaning to say the simple understanding, and we think that there's a machlokas, in this case between the Chachamim and Eliezer, so the Chachamim are right, Rabbi Eliezer is wrong. He's wrong. So then it turns out that what they did was aliba d'emes, chilul Shabbos. So, presumably, there should have been some consequence for their having done that which is objectively wrong. We'll talk about this maybe a little later if we have time, but the mainstream view among the Rishonim is that there is some type of natural consequence, perhaps a supernatural consequence, a spiritual consequence for doing that which is wrong, even if you innocently did it. So even though we don't blame the people of the city for doing what they did, however, lemaisa, they were mechal Shabbos, alibad emes, so that should have, there should have been some type of repercussions. They should have died early. And the Gemara says, adirabba, not only didn't they die early, but they were spared from a particular gzera. Now, you could be docha this raya, maybe later on we'll talk about how to be docha that raya, but the pashup shot here is that this very much corresponds with the view of the Ritva. Because Aliba de Emes, what they did was 100% right. Elu ve'elu devil kim chayim, the view of Rebbe Eliezer is equally true. The Chachamim is equally true. Rebbe Eliezer is equally true. Both views, both perspectives were said, L'moshe mi-Sinai. And thus, of course, they shouldn't have died early. And Adarabba, maybe they were rewarded for their Mesiras Nefesh for Mila. That's, this Gemara makes a lot of sense if you follow the view of the Ritva, the view of the Yerushalmi, and the like. Rav Schechter adds, he writes this up if you want to see it in Ikve Atzon, page 258-259, that a number of halachos, and he quotes Achronim that make this point, support this mahalich of the Ritva, of Elu V'Elu. How so? For example, we say that you could follow a Das Yachid B'Shas Hadchak. So, if the pshat is that the minority opinion is wrong, because the halacha follows the majority opinion, there's one opinion that's right and one opinion that's wrong, then it wouldn't make sense that under certain circumstances you could follow the minority opinion. It's simply wrong. Now, there's, of course, a machlokes when to apply the principle of Shasat Chak Somchan Al Das Yachad. The Shach, for example, says it doesn't apply to an Issur Deraisa and the like. But fundamentally, the whole idea is very difficult to understand. But if you follow the Mahalich of the Chachmei Tzarfas, so then it makes a lot of sense. Because when we paskin the halacha like one opinion over the other opinion, we're not actually saying that one opinion is more correct. They're both equally correct. So mimela, there'll be times that it's appropriate to follow even the Shas, the Das Yachid. Halacha is Kedas HaYachid in Hilchos Erevin and in Hilchos Avelos and B'Shas HaDchak and so on and so forth. Yeah. So that is something that makes more sense, or at least is easier to understand, if we follow the Chachmei Tzarfas. Now, of course, this whole idea of the Chachmei Tzarfas is very hard to understand. What do you mean? There's no correct answer. Really? How could they both be equally true? Doesn't Torah reflect some type of objective and true reality? Is it really equally Tamei and equally Tahor? So, for this reason, a number of thinkers reject this first Mahalich, and we'll consider their opinions in just a moment, but first let me address the questions. So, you had your hand up?
Yeah, if we're saying Eilu Ve'ilu, so following Rov, whenever there's Mandarmin that are arguing over drushes, so they're just arguing over which, I mean, if we're not saying it's coming from Masorah, which Pasuk fits better with that? Like,
according to the Rambam, again, not everybody accepts this. The Rambam himself was arguing with the Sheet of Gaonim about this, but according to the Rambam, when you have a machlokas about drashos, they are debating as to how to correctly interpret the Torah. The Torah and the Rambam, for example, says, the Gemara says, that Mishir Rabu, Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel, Sholoshim Shukal HaTzarech, Nisrabsim Machlokas B'Yisrael. What does that mean? It means that originally people were much better at knowing how to interpret the Torah, and then there were lots of Talmidim Sholoshim Shukal HaTzarech, so they were less expert in following the rules of interpretation, right? If you have two people that are crackerjack experts at interpretation, so most of the time they'll come to the same conclusion. If you have two people that are somewhat less expert, so they'll more frequently disagree. That's what that Gemara is telling us. So debates in the Gemara about how to interpret the Psukim don't reflect a debate about Masorah, because if one opinion, if one viewpoint had a Masorah, the other view would accept it. In Masorah hi, in Kabbalah hi, nekabel. Rather, they relate to how to correctly interpret, use the tools of interpretation to interpret the Torah. That's the way the Rambam says it. Now, I haven't explained what the Rambam says about Eilu Ve'ilu Devar Elokim Chayim. It happens to be that there's a Lashon of the Rambam that sounds very much like the Mahalich of the Chachmei Tzarfas, though he might not go as far as them. In the Perasha Mishnayos, in the Hakdama, he writes, V'aladrachim ha'elu nafla machlokas, lo mipnei sheta'u behalachos, v'sha'echad omer emes v'asheni sheker. In other words, machlokas is not that one opinion is emes and one is sheker. At the same time, I also mentioned that the Rambam says, well, machlokas stemmed from lack of expertise. So the Rambam's position is a bit complex, but at least in one place the Rambam actually does stress that when you have a machlokas, it doesn't mean one opinion is emes and one opinion is sheker. Okay, so if we don't accept the first mahalich, the Ritva's mahalich, and we maintain perhaps the far more intuitive understanding that when there is a debate, one opinion is more true than the other, objectively speaking, this object is either Tamei or Tahor. So, if that's the case, then, you know, and there's a tshuva, the long tshuva of the Chavos Yair about this topic, Kuf Tzadi Beis, and he writes about this view, Zeh Tamua, Ki Ma Mo'il Davar Shebe'emes Tamei. Right? There must be an emes, a true and correct opinion. So, how then will we explain this idea of Eilu Ve'ilu? Also, I guess, how would you explain the Gemara and Shabbos that we mentioned about the people who followed the view of Rabbi Eliezer and lived a long life? Maybe you could be docha that they were rewarded for their following the Divrei Chachamim, which protected them from the harm that would befall them from doing what was objectively wrong. The Ran actually says something like that. their long life was due to their purity or their motivation, and perhaps it was a supernatural protection against the harm that would have otherwise befallen them. So we'll see the Ran. I don't know if we'll get to that, but the Ran says something along those lines. So what does Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim mean? So the first view we'll see here is the Chida. The Chida gives a couple of explanations, and the first one is as follows: Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim Ein Perusho Dishneim Emes Ela Lihyost Ein Haor Nikar Ela Mitoch HaChoshech Nimtza Dasvara Haminagedes To'il Lehavin Heitev Hasvara Haamitis Be'etzem Umitzad Zeh Kari Benami Divrei Elokim Chayim Uli Olam Desvara Achas Emes Vasara Acheres Ein Emes. So really, one opinion is true, one opinion isn't true, like we intuitively would think. So why then do we bother studying a Beis Shammai's view? If really Beis Hillel is correct, so why would we bother studying the view of Beis Shammai? The answer is, by studying the incorrect view, that sheds light on the correct view. Why do we bother studying in Gemara? Why don't we just study the opinion that the halacha follows? Why do we always look at the machlokas and the Gemaras and the Rishonim and the like? Just follow the opinion that's a liba de hilchasa. Why does everything have to be a debate, and why do we have to study both views within the debate? So the Rishonim and Edyos actually address this question at length, but what the Chida is saying, which is a view that some Rishonim do highlight, is that the incorrect view helps us better understand and better appreciate the correct view. We'll understand Beis Hillel better when we study Beis Shammai. So even though Beis Hillel is right, but there's value to studying Beis Shammai. If you follow the Chachmei Tzarfas, the Ritva's view, especially why you study both opinions, they're both Divrei Elokim Chayim. If you say that one opinion is really Emes and the other Sheker, you could ask, why study Sheker? Answer is that sometimes studying the Sheker, he doesn't call it Sheker, he says it's Eino Emes. Sometimes studying the Eino Emes helps you appreciate what the Emes is. This idea, the practical value of studying opposing positions, is developed by the Nesivos in his Hakdama. You have that at the bottom of page 2. I don't think we'll read it together. But his point is that the process of Talmud Torah, which involves identifying misconceptions and refining the authentic position, is something that will really allow us to come to a correct understanding of the truth. And that's why we study the minority opinion, not because it's correct. The Chida, yes? He's addressing a different question, but he's also pointing it out here. In other words, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Okay, so we have it. You could say what he says is a bit dochak, but he says this is what Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim means. It's Divrei Elokim Chayim insofar as it'll help you understand the truth. Right? That's what he says. Is it dochak? I leave that up to you to decide. But that, in other words, it's definitely more of a strained read of Divrei Elokim Chayim. A second interpretation is Nimtzu de'elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim ki yesodos v'tamesh de'asvaros emes rak shebechiluf hanosim yishtane hadin. So this is maybe a little easier. Really, when we say the halacha follows one view over another view, so that one view is correct, the other view is incorrect. However, the idea is that there is validity to the underlying logic of both positions, and in that sense, they're Divrei Elokim Chayim. However, the incorrect view applied its logic incorrectly. The Maharal makes a similar point, the Chida in his second explanation. You don't have that here, but the Maharal writes in Baragola on Parakei, Sha'af im adavar tameh, yafshe shelo yelo tzad b'china shel el tahara shel ma, v'chein im adavar tahor, yafshe shelo yelo b'china ma shel tuma. Even things that are tameh have some aspect of tahara in the reverse, and when you have a debate, there is a correct logic to both opinions. It's not like the one opinion is true and the other opinion is absolutely false. they make sense. A lot of times when you see a debate, so you can't absolutely and definitively prove that one view is correct and the other view is incorrect. This is reminiscent of the famous introduction of the Ramban to Mochamos Hashem when he points out that Torah isn't like mathematics with one clear answer. So there is a argument to be made for both positions. However, the halacha follows one opinion because they're correctly applying that logical argument or theory or principle to the particular case at hand. But since there is an aspect of truth to both positions, then it's true, Divrei Elokim Chayim. But ultimately, this view also accepts that one is correct and one is incorrect. It's not like the opinion of the Ritva that both are equally true and correct. Another way to deal with Divrei Elokim Chayim is found in Rabbeinu Peretz over here, again on page 3. The context here is dealing with historical realities. Rabbeinu Peretz first quotes the Chachmei HaTzarfas that we saw in the Ritva and says that that explanation may be true for conceptual debates, but sometimes we have debates in Gemara about physically what happened. The context he's talking about here is the dimensions of the Mizbeach. How many amos long and wide was the Mizbeach? So it was one thing or the other. So how would you explain that? So he says, "Mikol makom kashem imaisim shekvar hayu, kigon mimizbeach dechad muchach mikra dahaya shishim, v'chad muchach mikra dahaya esrim, v'hasim hechi shayach lomar elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, dehalak lemeimar halacha charov chachmei ador, deha lo haya ela b'chad inyana." Let's say it was one thing. V'yesh lomar, degam kulhu lo haya ela b'chad inyana, ela chad muchach mikra devarav haya lo lios hachi, v'chad muchach mikra devarav debedin, sorry, haya lo lios hachi. V'hadika amar elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, perush demitoch ha'psukim yesh mashmosh lemedrish kimar ukimar. At least with respect to historical realities, one thing happened and one thing didn't. The Mizbeach was a certain size. However, in what sense then would we say Divrei Elokim Chayim? He assumes that Divrei Elokim Chayim applies to all things, including this. So, in what sense would that be true? And the answer is that the Psukim could be explained both ways. You could read the Psukim both ways. And in that sense, there's truth value to both viewpoints. In reality, it was one or the other. An analogy for this might be, I saw that Rav Yaakov Weinberg, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael Zatzal, said that you could compare Elu V'Elu to X squared equals 4. That both 2 and negative 2 are correct. Now, if we're depicting a reality, Rabbeinu Peretz says, it was either 2 or negative 2. However, both answers solve the equation. If you plug in negative 2, you get 4, and if you plug in 2, you get 4. Likewise, both viewpoints explain the psukim. However, in reality, it was one way or the other.
Assuming Astako Bereza Boreon was not direct.
Depends how you understand this Stako Bereis Uvar Elma, but yes, it would preclude that very literal understanding. Even Rabbeinu Peretz isn't saying necessarily that one view is correct or incorrect. Remember, he accepted the Chachmei Tzarfas. So at Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have said both. Klal Yisrael, in reality, built a Mizbeach that was one or the other.
That based on Rov, maybe?
Maybe based off of Rov, whatever it might be. Okay. Rashi, you could have actually said, Rashi makes this point in Ksubos, that maybe we don't say Divrei Elokim Chayim to certain types of debates, like whether Rebbe said X or Y yesterday. Did he pask in Shir yesterday, Tamei or Tahor? You can't really say Elielu in cases like that because he said one thing or the other. Maybe he said both. But assuming he came to a conclusion, he said one or the other. But Reparetz, at the very least, is trying to show how Eilu Devar Elokim Chayim could be applied to all debates, at least Talmudic debates. Now, the next approach we're going to consider, yes.
But it can only, according to Rabbeinu, Reparetz can only be applied to not to concepts, but just to.
Well, that's what he said. To concepts, you could say like the Ritva.
Right.
To realities, you can't say like the Ritva, so right. He uses a different model to explain that.
So how do the non-Chachmei Tzarfas deal with that you can rely on the Das Yochid B'Shas HaTchak?
You could explain it. For one thing, if you accept the Shach, it's only by Dinam D'Rabban and Heimamru. There are things that could be said. Okay. The next major approach is developed by the Ran, who deals with this in Drashos at length in a couple of places. And the Ran's approach is that basically the idea is that there's halachic autonomy that manifests itself independently of divine interference. What I mean to say is as follows. The Ran cites the Yerushalmi that we mentioned earlier, and he explains it differently. The Yerushalmi was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, or Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu in this Yerushalmi, that the way to resolve halachic questions is through Achir Abim Lahatos, through the procedure of debate and then vote. That's not to say that both views are equally correct. The Yerushalmi didn't say Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, though it did sound like the Chachmei Tzarfas. That's inconceivable, because there must be one view that's correct and one view that's incorrect. Rather, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu is, it doesn't really matter who is objectively correct or incorrect, because the Torah was given to human beings, Lo Bashamayim Hi, and human beings are meant to interpret it according to their understanding of the Torah. And the source that the Ran cites to support this contention is the famous Gemara in Perek HaZav about Tanur Shalachnai. So you all know the Gemara, we don't have to read it again together, it's here on the middle of page 3, that there was a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about the Tara and Tumah of Tanur Shalachnai. And Rabbi Eliezer said, if I'm right, all sorts of miracles should happen, and indeed those miracles happened. If I'm right, a Baskol should declare I'm right, and indeed that happened. And nevertheless, the Gemara says that we follow the view of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Eliezer even was excommunicated due to his refusal to accept the majority position. So what is this Gemara telling us? So what the Ran says is that this Gemara is telling us that indeed these miracles happened because Rabbi Eliezer was mechaven el ha'emes yoser from the Chachamim. It wasn't just miracles that were lechvodo shel Rabbi Eliezer, but in fact Rabbi Eliezer was mechaven to the objective truth. However, why then didn't the Chachamim just accept his view? The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that we are meant to interpret the Torah using our own human minds, even though those minds, in a sense, are fallible. And we are supposed to understand the Torah as we see it. And since the majority view understood the halacha based off of the Torah was X, then they have to follow X. And the fact that miraculously Rabbi Eliezer can demonstrate that Aliba de Emes, the halacha is like him, that's irrelevant. Because to listen to Rabbi Eliezer and to follow his view would be a violation of the rules that the Torah itself laid down with respect to the interpretation of the Torah. Just like we say, Ein Navi Rishai L'Chadish Davar. If a Navi comes and tells me the halacha, tries to interpret the Torah, we'll say he's a Navi Sheker. Nevi'im come to give Musar, to tell us whether we should fight wars. Huh? But maybe Horasha, but not to determine the halacha. Lo bashamayim hi.
Ein mashgichem bevaskol.
Ein mashgichem bevaskol. Of course, one has to deal with questions like cases where we do seem to be mashgich bevaskol. another discussion. But one way or the other, that is the yesod that this Gemara in Bava Metzia is teaching us. And that fits very nicely with the yesod of the Ran. Let's just read a little bit from the Ran. Shemeachar she'achras haTorah nimsura lahem b'chayehem v'sichlam hayim mechayev letamei hayim min haroi she'yia tamei af al pi shehu hefech min ha'emes. Hefech min ha'emes, as Rebbe Lazar was mechayev to the emes, and the chachamim were not. Now, of course, the Torah told us to follow the majority view, and most of the time, the majority will be mechayev al emes yoser from the minority view, but aliba de emes, I mean, aliba de ilchusa, we follow. Now, this yields another explanation. In other words, halacha kedivrei ploni is not telling us that he's objectively right, but that the halacha follows him. Vashar afal pishomim emes ein ruyan lasos ma'isa kein b'divrei haTorah k'mo shelo tiru bal machlokoso shel Rabbi Eliezer afal pishin itna lem baskol min hashamayim shalacha k'moso. So in what way is it Divrei Elokim Chayim? In what way is the opinion that says Hefech Min HaEmes Divrei Elokim Chayim according to the Ran? So the Ran answers, it's Divrei Elokim Chayim, it's the word of God insofar as God said that this is the view you should follow. Not that it's what Hashem told Moshe at Sinai. What did Hashem tell Moshe at Sinai? Maybe he said Rebbe Eliezer's view. But the Chachamim's view is also Divrei Elokim Chayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you should follow the Chachamim, because the Torah said you should follow the majority opinion. We'll read on a little bit in the Ran. In the next paragraph, that was from Drasha Shvi. This is from Chamishi. The Amru Od, Bali Asufos El Tamid HaChacham Sheyoshim Asufos Asufos V'Oskim B'Torah. Halo L'Matam V'Lo L'Matamin, Halo L'Machshim V'Lo L'Posim, Halo L'Matim V'Lo L'Osrim. Shama Toimar V'Chulei, Ve'ech Ani Lame Torah Me'ata. How am I supposed to learn? I go, everything I learned is a machlokes, it's a machlokes, tanoim, it's a machlokes, I'm a rai, machlokes, rishonim, gaonim, achronim. What am I supposed to do? No. Kulam nitnu meroa echad. Kolomar, eini yodea ezameyan hisig ha-emes. I don't know who's right. Alibad emes. Tamad lomar, kulam nitnu meroa echad. Kulam parnas echad, amru. Mepi adon kolamaisim baruchu. Shenemar, vaydeber lokim, es kolad vema elu leimor. Darshu milas kol shafilu daver mishcha lo hisig emes. Vizeh inyan tzarch iyan. Ech namar shnei kitos hamachlokos namru mepi agvura. Hine Reb Eliezer Reb Yeshua nachlaku v'achad hisig emes v'asheni lo hisigu. Right? How could it be? They're both from Hashem. One is masigas emes, one isn't. Ve'ech namar shiyatza mepi agvura daver shenu amiti. Aval inyan kachu shekvar yadua shekol atoira shebechsav shebal peh nimsera lemoisha. Kamo sheamru Amr Bichia Bar Abba Amr Yochanan May Dechsev Alehem Kachol Advarim Vechulei Melamit Shehera Kol Shparuch Lemoshe Diktukei Toiv Diktukei Sofrim Umash Sofrim Asin Mochshadesh Umay Nihu Mikra Megillah Diktukei Sofrim Hinu Achlokes Vechilukei Asvaros Shal Bein Chachmei Yisrael Vekulon Lamda Moshe Mepi Agvura Umaser Lo Klal Asher Bo Yodei HaEmes Vehu Acher Yam Lhatos Vechein Lo Tosem Nadav Shigidulcha. Ukshrabu amachkos bein chachamim bein achachamim imay yachid etzel rabim hayu kolim alachik divrei amirubim vim rabim etzel rabim o yachid etzel yachid kafi aniru lachachmei adorahu shekvar nimsira lahem hachra keamru uvas alakonim alavim alashofet asher yabu yamim ahem vedarashta vigidu lachais tvar mishpat vechulei lo sasar harei shenasen rishus lachachmei adoras vachriya bemachlokes achachamim kafi aniru lahem. The afilu im yia hakodmim mehem gedayla mehem the rabbi mehem shekain etzavinu lalachas achrei haskamos hachachme hadoros sheyaskimu leemes olahafcha v'zeh mivur b'harbe mekomos. Rav Moshe in his Hakdama to Igros Moshe develops a similar idea that there's sort of two truths. There's the objective heavenly truth and there's the halachic normative truth. And it's our job to figure out what to do. And like the Ran says, because that's true, because the Torah is given to us, so we have to follow our view, assuming we're higia l'horan, we're ra'i l'kach, even if we know that we're arguing with people that are smarter than us. Because the Torah said the Torah should be interpreted according to your understanding. And that's what Moshe says. That's why Moshe says, that's why you'll see I argue with people that are greater than me. Because the Torah says you're supposed to follow your own intellect, your own understanding. Obviously, a person has to have a sense of humility and an appropriate sense of self. But in the end of the day, one view is more true than the other, according to the Ran. The next model I want to consider with you is a fascinating point, I think. Turn to page 4. Just one second. So I call this the quantum model. And this is based off of another Gemara, where the Gemara employs the principle of Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. The context here is the story of Pilegesh Begiva, and the question is, what exactly she did to make her husband irate, which caused her to run away and him to chase after her, and led to the very tragic consequences. Ksiv, Vatiznei Lav Pilegesh. Rabbi Avyasar Omer, Zvuv Matzalah. Rabbi Yonasan Amar, Nima Matzalah. So what got him so angry? One opinion, Rabbi Avyasar said he found a fly on his plate. The other, he found a hair. Where the hair was is a further debate. Vashkech Rabbi Avyasar Leliyahu. Amarle, my Avin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Avyasar meets Eliyahu. He says, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing now? Amarle, Asik B'Pilegesh Begiva. He's learning the Sugya of Pilegesh Begiva. Umayka Amar. So what's Hashem saying? Amar lei, Avyasar b'ni kachu omer, Yonasan b'ni kachu omer. So what's Hashem saying? He's quoting this machlokas. Avyasar said it was a zvuv. Yonasan said it was a hare. Amar lei, Rabbi Avyasar said to Eliyahu, Chas v'shalom, umi ikka sveika klape shmaya, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu, could he be uncertain? In other words, Kaddish Baruch Hu knows the truth. It was either a zvuv or it was a nima. Either I'm right or he's right, or maybe none of us are right. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't misupik. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu be saying, oh, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Avyasar and Rabbi Yonasan? So Eliyahu responded, Amarle, Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim, Hein zvuv matza v'lo hikbid, nima matza v'hikbid. Initially he found a zvuv. He wasn't makbid. Then he found the hair. And he was very makbid. What does this mean? Right? So, originally he sees the fly. He's upset. Doesn't like to see a fly in his plate. But he excused it. He was misgaber. He was kovish as yitzro. And he didn't get angry at his lagash. And then he sees the hair. And oh my gosh, this is the fly that broke the camel's back. The straw that broke the camel's back. And now he just blows up at her. He can't handle it anymore. You know, maybe if he just saw the hair, he wouldn't have been so upset. But the hair after the fly. So what's the debate? You know, if I say, what caused this? I say, what caused World War I? So you could tell me 10 different things. And they'd all be correct. Right? And it depends on how you what you mean by the word cause. Do you mean the final thing that caused everything to fall apart? Or do you look at the initial causes that led to the situation which allowed that final thing to cause everything to fall apart? So both of them, both Rabbi Avyasar and Rabbi Yonasan, were correct. Now, what's so remarkable about this Gemara is the following. Rabbi Avyasar and Rabbi Yonasan saw each of their positions as incompatible with the other position. In other words, from Rabbi Yasser's perspective, if he was right, Rabbi Yonasan was wrong. And if Rabbi Yonasan was right, he was wrong. And thus he says, Chas v'shalom, mi'ikas veka klab yishmaya. From the perspective of the protagonists in the debate, there was one correct view and one incorrect view. And what did Eliyahu show him? The truth is that you're both correct. And you're both correct in a way that neither of you could have possibly imagined. But, in fact, you're both correct. Now, in a sense, this is very similar to the view of the Chachmei Tzarfas, but there's a difference here. The Chachmei Tzarfas are arguing that the truth value of each position stems from the fact that each position was stated at Sinai. Whereas what this Gemara is indicating is that they're both equally true, and they're reconcilable in a way that perhaps even the protagonists in the debate are unaware of how that's possible. A similar perspective to Elu Ve'elu could be seen in Tosfos, the next source here from Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos over there is referring to the debate in the Gemara when whether the world was created in Nisan or Tishrei. So Tosfos says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, De'Elu Ve'elu Devel Kim Chayim, Vikla Meima De'Betishrei Ala B'Machshav Levaros V'Lo Nivra Ad Nisan. Meaning to say that, again, the world was created in Nisan, the world was created in Tishrei. When we refer to it, when we refer to when was the world created, created with respect to what? The Machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the Maisa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But in fact, both views are equally true. And perhaps Tosus would say that the debates in the Gemara, that Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara wasn't aware of this resolution, but it's a true resolution, like in the story of Rabbi Eliezer, that the protagonists were even unaware of. Now perhaps we could apply this approach, this paradigm of Elu V'Elu more broadly to other debates in the Gemara. And we could argue that, in fact, both views, even the view that says Tameh and Tahor, are correct. As far as we could tell, those two perspectives are in fact mutually exclusive. However, that doesn't mean that there isn't some method of resolution that we're unaware of. As far as we could tell, there is no resolution. The two views are incompatible. What Eliyahu showed Rabbi Eliezer is that just because you don't see how they could be resolved, that doesn't mean that they're not resolvable. Why do I call this the quantum model? Because I saw Revolbi in Aleh Shur, Chelek Beis, page 520, uses this analogy to explain Elu Ve'elu Devei Elokim Chayim. He compares Elu Ve'elu Devei Elokim Chayim to wave-particle duality. What does that mean? When you measure an electron, so waves and particles are, as far as we could tell, incompatible. If something is a wave, it's not a particle. If it's a particle, it's not a wave. They're different from each other. And yet, depending on how you measure, you'll come to a different conclusion. How that's possible, how both could be true, we don't really understand. Maybe one day science will figure it out. But right now, we don't understand. We know, though, it's true. It has properties of both. And that's what the Gemara is telling us about Elu V'Elu. That the two views, as far as we could tell, might be incompatible. But there might be some resolution, which we can't see, that allows for both of them to be true. And to this, I think you could add another aspect from quantum physics, which is the essential role of the observer. I'm getting a little bit above my pay scale over here, because I can't say that I understand quantum physics. But just as the properties of at least quantum scale objects differ based off of the observer, so too Torah could be understood differently, but in ways that are equally true depending on the observer. And I think that this perspective helps us appreciate an idea that's developed by Rav Kook. I think Rav Kook takes this approach. Take a look on page 5 of your source book. This is an idea that Rav Kook has in a number of his writings, the idea of achdut hafachim, the unification of opposites. So I guess we'll read this together. Ke'et munach lefanai michtavo acharon, I have your recent letter before me. He was responding to somebody named Rev Shmuel Alexandrov, who learned in the Volozhin, but also was somewhat of an enlightened figure. And Rev Shmuel Alexandrov was responding to an earlier letter of Rev Kook, who said that this idea that both things could be true, achdut hafachim, and And he said, "V'itpale she'al ma shekasavti b'inyan achdut hafachim meshiv kvodo alai mehadavar yadua she'ein efsharut l'shnei hafachim she'yu b'nosei echad." It's impossible for two things to be opposite at once, right? The law of contradictions. Something can't be X and non-X at the same time. V'tmihani v'chi lezu anu tzrichim halo ikra tzad shel chidush she'bidvarai hu ma shemitada machshava ha'el yona hasokeres as amkam shel dvarim ein b'mitzius klal hafachim. That from the perspective of the higher thought, of God's thought, which scrutinizes the profundity of things, there are no opposites in reality. V'chol makom sheyesh hafachim, and any place where there are opposites, yesham bevadai eze tenai ne'alam, there's some type of hidden condition that can resolve that contradiction. Ukshiyisparesh nimtza sheshnei hamishpatim, and when that hidden condition is expressed, so then it turns out that the two seemingly contradictory things, sheniru b'mivta uvitziur hafachim, that appeared contradictory, shechad mehen hu banoi al tzad echad, shemishpat v'asheni al tzad acher, that one of them is built upon one presumption or under certain conditions, and another in the other conditions. V'nimtza shal yidei shnei hafachim yachdav anu ro'im es hamishpat mishnei tzadav. And it's only when we look at both perspectives that we will see the matter more fully, which is, again, as we've explained, why it's so important to study both perspectives in a machlokas. Because even if we don't yet know how to understand the resolution, how it's possible that they're both true simultaneously, we will have a much more correct view of the matter if we see both positions, even if, from our perspective, there's still no resolution. V'nimtza she'en kan hafachim b'derech echleit, u'mitzidam en kan nosei achad, kevan she'yichusim yichusim shel hanosei hem shonim. And he develops this idea very beautifully. Yes?
Is it not true that the very Gemara that you brought, the first Gemara from Eiv and Yad Gimel, just says that we follow the hill because they would snooing on you, that they would first look at Beit Shammah? Is this not what he's saying? I mean, they would consider the broader view.
That is one way of understanding that. Yeah.
I know if Rav Shechter said it was because he had Siyata the Shemaya.
Right. Right. There are different understandings. The Beis Yosef has a different understanding of that Gemara. Does it mean that naturally, because they're tsnuim, so they're more likely to be mechaven el ha'emes because they're willing to consider other possibilities? Is it supernatural because of their midos tovos and the like? But that's certainly one explanation of that Gemara that fits very nicely with this, indeed. So, Rav Dessler, if you see in the next source, takes this idea one step further, and he says, at least with respect to matters of Agada, there's no true debate at all. And what seems like debate is really presenting the matter from different perspectives. Ulam klal gadol hu, kshechazal omrim deo shonos binyanei agada, harei kulan meiros oso nosei mitzdadim shonim, mipchino shonos, ve'ena mechulakim. And he quotes later, v'hinei mefurish betikune zohar, shebinyanei agada v'kabala lo shayich machlokas, v'avir hu kanal, mishum sheshnei ha-mabatim emes, kol achas bevchinasau, ve'eno chaluk lemaisa. We're very limited in our perspective, and therefore oftentimes we can only see a particular matter from... Oh, the clock is wrong. I see. We could only see... I apologize. We only could see the matter from a narrow perspective, because generally speaking, most of us are very narrow. Moshe Rabbeinu was very broad. He was capable of seeing the various perspectives. And this leads to really another perspective on looking at machlokas. Sometimes we're frustrated by all the machlokas, but the Aruch HaShulchan famously says in the next source, we don't read it inside, that you should see the machlokas as, you know, like he gives the analogy of a symphony or an orchestra. Each instrument on its own is playing its own tune, and really on its own it doesn't sound particularly good. But when they all come together, it becomes rich and beautiful. Rav Kook says very beautifully that that's what it means when Chazal say that Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. So, what do you mean they're Marbim Shalom Ba'olam? They're Marbim Machlokas. Talmidei Chachamim, they argue about everything. The answer is that Shalom comes from Shlemus. And through the argument, seeing the different perspectives, you come to a much greater and truer perspective of the matter, which of course is very significant, because when you have that perspective, naturally the way you're going to treat the person who you're arguing with is going to be with respect, even though as far as you could tell, they're absolutely wrong. I'd like to just close with one caveat. Until now, we have been talking about Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. What we haven't talked about, and is beyond the scope of today's shiur, especially because we're out of time, unless we follow that clock, is to what and about what we say. And we all know that time isn't objective either, that we go back to our quantum physics. So that clock reflects the fact that we're moving so fast that time has slowed down. I don't know if that works for Shabbos. So it's true that Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. That doesn't mean that everybody is equally entitled to an opinion, and that every opinion that anybody says based off of their understanding of Torah is equally correct. While it might be true that we apply Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim to Machlokes, Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel, and to the Chachmim Sora, and to people that are Yelo Ra, to quote the teacher of one of my wives, we say Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, not Elu V'Elu 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 Divrei Elokim Chayim. And just because, even if we accept the idea of the Chachmei Tzarfas, so that means that the positions stated at Sinai are Divrei Elokim Chayim, or to follow Rabbeinu Peretz, the positions that could be truly used to explain the text of the Torah are Divrei Elokim Chayim, or the like. But that doesn't mean, and we're not arguing, just because we're allowing for the possibility of multiple truths, that there's no such thing as truth at all, and anything that you say goes, and anything that anybody wants to argue is legitimate. We do have a Torah, and we do have a Mesorah, and there are rules, and there's something real. And that being the case, so one has to be careful about what types of things we say and consider Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Okay, I'll pick up next week's session. I'm sorry I didn't get back to your question.